So talking about, so we talked about honor, we talked about sacrifice, and go with me into John chapter 8. This is a message you guys have all heard, maybe a little bit different angle this time, talking about spiritual freedom that you have in Jesus. So I wrote a couple of things out that the Lord asked me to write out so I could talk to you about. It says, why do people ride motorcycles, ride roller coasters, convertibles, boats, horses? Pushing children on bicycles, tubing behind a boat, riding on a zip line, jumping out of planes, riding in a balloon, letting your hair blow in the wind, a jet ski, rock concert, Christian rock concert. We have a built-in mechanism inside of us that all want to be free. Amen? And you say, well, we're thrill seekers, and that's why we, and I still can't get my head wrapped around why anybody would want to jump out of a perfectly good plane, but that's another story. Some people like to parachute out of planes, and that's cool. I appreciate that. But isn't that, and you say, well, we do that, Pastor Bevo, because we're thrill seekers. Well, what part of the thrill is it that you're seeking? And what you're seeking, truly, deep down inside, is the freedom that you have when you're on that ride. Amen? And as scary as it is, whether you're on a roller coaster or a zip line or I don't even know if they still bungee jump. We do that because we like the sense of freedom and what it brings. And it brings a smile to our face. I do have to say this about the tubing. So there's a lot of people, and the people, all our friends that are at the lake and all, I know you're there, and Lake of the Ozarks, Table Rock Lake, or wherever you're at, maybe even Wapapella, wherever you're at, watching. And so children need to know that tubing is not always the way it's been, Jimmy. Tubing is not. Tubing now is we go to Walmart or we order online, and there's a nice tube, and it's got seats and cushions and armrests and maybe even seat belts. Tubing wasn't that way when I started. And I didn't start in a lake. I started in the river. Because your uncle gave you a tractor trailer tire inner tube. Black and hot and big and had a metal stem right in the middle of that Joker, Steve. Kids are going, wasn't that dangerous? Did you get scratched? Oh, you better believe you got scratched. No such thing as a ski vest back then either. You wore the Chris Farley orange one that went around your neck, and your uncle and your dad pushed you out, and you had fun. That's what freedom is, and that's why we get on it. Despite the dangers, we truly want to be free as human beings. Amen? So think about this for just a second. I'll ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to tell you about four songs that you used to sing when you was in class, Johnny. Used to slide out of your desk, and then you would stand in your aisle, and you would either say the Pledge of Allegiance, or in maybe in music class sing the national anthem, or My Country Tis of Thee, or America the Beautiful, where it talks about God's grace shed on thee. And I doubt if they can even sing that at public schools anymore because it has God in it. And maybe we could get back to having free society and free in our schools if we would bring God back into schools. So since you moved God out of schools, other things moved in. And the only way to get back to freedom is asking Christ to come back in into our lives. Amen. So talking about the spiritual freedom that Jesus is going to talk about here in chapter 8 of John, here it is. It starts out, he says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So this is something that Jesus constantly did. And we don't just teach scriptures to Christians. We teach scriptures to non-believers, Tim. And they become believers through the movement and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You won't convert them. It'll be the Spirit of God getting on them and convincing them that they need a Savior in Jesus. Amen. So this is why he teaches this. These Pharisees, these scribes in verse 3, they brought a woman who was caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst. So what does that mean? This lady has a sin issue. Her Her particular issue is adultery. We all have sin issues. So don't walk in this church and act like you're above sin and you ain't got something in your closet. If Jesus was to bust in your house, he could get in one of them closets and find something going on in your life. Amen. So her particular sin was adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees put her, say it with me, in the midst. In the midst. That means they wanted to put her, Jimmy, front and center to expose her sin. And that's what sidewalk psychologists like to do and Facebook jockeys. They like to point everybody else's sin out, but they never want to take an inward look at their sin until the Lord convicts them of that. So here's what he says. They go on and they start quoting the law of Moses here. They said, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such a woman." Stone such a woman. Did you notice that the scribes and Pharisees left out the man, Debbie? Elbow your husband. Don't ever leave the guy out. Do you know that guys are guilty of things they've never even done before? If there's something wrong in your household, it's because you did it, I promise you. Just automatically, just guys, and if you go like, I just got married, that ain't gonna happen to me. Well, just suck it up and get over it. I'm a man of my house, and you're the man of the house until she tells you what time it is, right? No, I mean that. But what I'm saying here is these guys were pointing out this woman, and the guys are guilty in this thing too, right? They said this to test him that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. We all want to know what it is. What did Jesus say in the dirt about all these people gathered around? What a mystery. Some people think that he was writing all the guys' names down in the town that she was with. Just go, oh my. So when we start to get convicted of the Lord of the sin in our life, things start to change very quickly, right? So here it is. He bends down to the ground, and verse 7 says, "And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.'" So he said, if you ain't got any sin in your life, you can judge that woman. But after they took inventory, Mike, they found out I got sin in my life, so I better not cast a stone. So what I better do is put my attitude, my speech, and everything else in my pocket and hightail it out of here before I end up in more hot water. So what Jesus is saying is if you're without sin, you can judge. Say that with me. If you're without sin, you can judge. And I only know of one person that combed the earth that was without sin. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is righteous to judge sin. Amen. He's righteous, and he will judge sin in the end. It's important that you know he will judge sin in the end because he's a righteous judge, and he has to judge righteously. So talking about the spiritual freedom. So a lot of times in our sin, we don't really realize how bound and shackled we are, Gloria, whether it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, alcohol, pornography, shopping, whatever it is. We really think we're free. Isn't that freeing? Like, you remember when you were young and you got your first credit card in the mail? Yeehaw! What did you think when you got your credit card?
Freedom.
What does that mean? I can buy anything I want to buy, and I don't have to pay it for 30 days. And then once you start to overspend, you go, uh-oh, they want their money. You get back into bondage, don't you? You get into bondage because you overspent. There's too much month at the end of your money, right? So verse 9 says, "But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones." The older ones are smart. They go, you know what? I better get out of here because he's getting ready to look at me. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Isn't that just like Jesus? Always right there in the middle of a mess. Always standing by when everyone else has left. When everyone else has abandoned you, Jesus is still there standing with you because he loves you. Not because you deserve it, but because he loves you, he stands with you. But like a righteous judge, Mike, he's got to tell you the truth. He's got to tell you the truth. Don't come to this church and act like we're going to preach a bunch of flowery messages to make everybody feel good. And then when you get out in the world, you go, I'm not ready for the world. It's because the world is filling you full of sugar and false things. I'm here to bring you the truth and the truth of Jesus Christ so you're ready to face a world out there that's broken. Well, so here's the message in the message here, Terry. Watch this. Verse 10. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? Question mark. Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, say this with me. 1, 2, 3, go. Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on and say that with me one more time. And sin no more. One more time. And so you said, well, I thought Jesus came to set me free. He came to set you free from a life of sin, not freedom to sin. Let me say it over here because they get it. He sets you free from sin so you don't have to live in a life of sin. You go, oh, pastor, don't you know as human beings, we're going to sin. You sin because you want to. It never has been this quiet in this church before. You sin because you want to. You say, Pastor, what is the definition of sin? I'm glad you asked me. In 1 John 5:17, he calls it all wrongdoing. We do wrong because we like to, not because you want to, not because you have to. When you get out of bed, you don't have to sin. You sin because your flesh likes it. Let that get around in there. We like to sin. That's what the flesh likes to do. We like to feed the flesh. But here's the problem with feeding the flesh, Debbie. It always requires more. Don't you remember that when you was off in your sin? Not one beer. I need 50. Not one drink of Jack Daniels. I need the whole quart. Not one crack rock. I need all of it. More. More sex. More drugs. More rock and roll. More, 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 more. When you got Jesus in your life, you're set free from all of that nasty stuff, and you don't need that anymore. And when you get drunk in the Holy Ghost, you don't need the rest. You've been set free. Amen. That's powerful when you think about it for just a second. You go, you know what? All I need is Jesus. Say that with me. All I need is Jesus. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So I think about our brothers and sisters who have fought and died to keep our country free. And you guys all need to know, and you young people that are in the sanctuary and are watching the lakeside and all that, and seeing all these people who died in our wars and going on the beaches of Normandy, when they got off the boat, they knew they was going to die. But they did it anyways. Why? For people like you, Ethan. For young people, they died for your freedom. I can't get my head wrapped around that. Would you send your son or daughter into battle knowing for sure they're going to die? All the moms and dads in here are shaking their head no. Well, God had to send his son, his one and only son. And when he sent him down to earth, he knew people would spit on him, be flogged, be beaten, be talked about, be persecuted, be run down in his own town. He couldn't even do miracles in his own town, Debbie, because nobody believed in him. Talk about persecution, church. You know, we live in a world now where all we talk about is rights and privileges. I want to talk about an America that believes in obligations and responsibilities, amen, that we do the right thing just because it's right. And sometimes, you know, I was thinking about this. I've told you this before, but I want to say this one more time just because sometimes, you know, there's certain things we need to fight for and there's certain things we don't need to fight for. And I thought about that, and I was walking through our house, you know, and I was going through all these places, Jackie. I was walking around the house, and I went through. Does everybody have a toy room at their house? If you're a grandma or grandpa, everybody's got a toy room. And I go through the toy room, and I go, what happened inside the toy room? I don't go in there often because it's scary in there. You've been there, Debbie. Tell me, the whole we have a whole room that's dedicated to just toys. And I don't have any babies in my house anymore. These are for people who might stop by, who might have babies, who might want to go in my room and destroy it. We have that room for you. But it still eats my lunch when I walk through it. And I asked her, I asked my wife, she says, I said, what happened in here? She said, well, Aaron and Jess's kids were here. Always blaming on them because they're the only little ones I really know of anymore. She goes, just shut the door. And I was like, yeah, shut the door. So here's the part of that story that's actually sad. Because I had a toy room similar to that, but much smaller in another one of my houses when my daughter Rocky was alive. And I go in that room and I kick the stuffed animals around and why are these stuffed animals all over here? And don't you know how important it is to clean up? I would do anything to see those stuffed animals on the floor that she left out again and her be here around. So if you got toys that are around and kids, thank God that you got kids to clutter up the place. Amen. That's not a bad problem. It's a bunch of blessings is what it is. Do you remember the toy box? Shake your head if you remember the toy box. I got my daughter's toy box, Raquel's toy box. And all the kids wrote on it and all the and kids that are in this church today and maybe Jackie or whoever. And that's something special. And you have memories of your dad and all that. Those are special memories. Nobody can take those memories that we have of our loved ones who have gone on, right? That's what being in Christ and being in America is all about, is not just being free in my spirit and free in America or riding my bike, but Brett, being free in my mind. I got a free mind. Me and Brett aren't shackled with the woes of old days. When people come to me with the old things, I go, you know, I've been set free from that. And amen. And maybe you ain't said, you're messed up in your mind. You go, the people are going to come over and they're going to see that we're human beings and my carpet hasn't been vacuumed. Amen. Rise up with me. Going to talk a little bit more about spiritual freedom. So here we go. So, and I'll ask Miss Carol to come up and she'll chop it up on a piano a little bit. So Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. In 8:12, he says that, and then in 8:14, he says, my testimony is true. He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And I'll ask Jonathan to bring the lights down in the house. He'll bring the praise team up. There's one that can't get over here. Just give me one right over at my podium here. There you go. Thank you. Watch this one. This is one. Since I have, do you know that I have family that are watching this broadcast today? Do you know that? See, I haven't preached in my own pulpit on Memorial Day, Bevo, in years. Because normally on Memorial Day, I'm down in Table Rock Lake, and I'm preaching to a bunch of people on a dock. So wherever I'm at, I'm preaching. If you see Uncle Pat come around anywhere, I'm preaching the gospel. It doesn't matter where it's at. Amen. So I'm here, and there's something special about being here on Memorial Day. I got to be honest with you. Haven't done it in a while. But I want to preach to lost people. And I think we started preaching on the dock down there in Branson probably over 20 years ago. There's been a captive audience all over the Ozarks that would come down, John. And they come all how they want to come. Jimmy, you just like this, it's just like this church. Steve, you come however you want to come. Caitlin, come however you want to come.
You don't have to dress up or fix up. And some come in their shorts and their flip-flops and their tank tops and their T-shirts and all that. Just come. We invite them all. They all come. And through the years, everybody knows. Pastor Pat's going to have church on the dock at 10 o'clock. Amen. I've been doing it for years. And I can't believe all these people show up from all over the Ozarks. My aunt and my uncle, if their kids are watching today, my Uncle Ronnie and my Aunt Alice, they used to come. They used to drive over. They have gone on with the Lord since. But you know how good it is when your family shows up to church with you? I still remember when they'd pull down the hill, Janet. They'd pull down the hill down to the dock down there, and it would be a red Ford pickup truck. When they come in, my Aunt Alice and my Uncle Ronnie would come, and I'd go, oh, praise God, they're here. And it's just, does it charge your battery a little bit when your family comes with you? You're like, you know what? I'm so glad that they're here. They're like a mainstay. Some traditions we should never get away from. Ridley's. And we're here because that's where we believe on Sunday we're supposed to be. I don't need to interview anybody on Facebook to find out where I'm supposed to be, me and my family. I'm supposed to be at church on Sunday morning because that's what I decided for me and my family. Amen? That's what I decided for me and my family. So here's the goods. Here's why we do this. Jesus addresses this. In 6:24, if you or 8:24, Mrs. Rubel, if you would. I told you, so he's telling the Pharisees all this stuff. Red letter. I told you, you would die in your sin, for unless you believe that I am he. Whew, hold on for a second. Hold on. I told you before. Somebody's got to bring the gospel message to your children. I told you would die in your sin, Jimmy. Unless somebody comes and tells you and your family about the love of Jesus Christ. I told you. It's got to be preached over and over and over again. You want to know what the battle is? Young pastors have the battle coming up. Living in a turbulent world, Tim, you know the deal. You're trying to hammer them down and shut their church down and shut up and all this kind of stuff. You need to pray for young pastors. We got a couple in our church. And they need to know it's okay to preach the gospel regardless of what's going on out in the world. The world's always going to be a crazy place. But you need to have a local church like this where you can walk through the double doors and you go, when I go in there, I'm going to know familiar faces. I know they're going to preach the gospel. I know that we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And Jesus Christ still is king at that church. Amen. Hold on. Don't get too busy. Don't get too busy, every one of y'all. Somebody's always got to have their home opened in case somebody like Brett wants to come in and give their life to Jesus. And that's Jan and homes opened up. Don't get too busy with your... I told my deacons and pastors that in this meeting this morning. All my plans and all my wife's plans are canceled when somebody shows up to my house. Whatever we's going to do, we got to stop because I'm in the God business. That's the business I'm in. If you wanted to clean your house or clean your garage, you better forget it about right now because that person needs to hear about Jesus. That's why they come over. You stop. Hey, hold on. You stop your workout and you tell them about Jesus. Being a Christian is inconvenient. Being an American's inconvenient too because you always got to fight for your freedom. But don't you think that's a fight we ought to fight? I think it's something that it shouldn't go out of style. So when we pass the baton over to your kids, I want to make sure they understand what it takes to be saved. And kids, don't get too busy. Don't run off somewhere and go, well, I need to be doing this. I need to be playing a video game or I need to be in somebody's basement doing who knows what. What you need to be doing is get your knees on the ground, your nose in the book, and your eyes on the cross is what you need to do. Somebody at the house needs to break out the Bible. What a concept that is.
All right, here's where I'm going to leave you. Just one verse, and that's it. We're out of here. So if the Son sets you free, 8:38, you will be free indeed. Did I tell you this, Gloria? Did I tell you this about your husband? It didn't matter if John hobbled around the church. He's still free inside. Hobble, drag, push, whatever you got to do, get in church and follow Jesus. And where's the freedom come from, Johnny? The freedom comes from inside. Comes from inside. When Jesus sets you free, you won't have to worry about what you used to do, Tim, or Tommy, or Anna, or Steggy. You said, what I drink don't fill me up anymore. I don't need that stuff anymore. I've been set free. I've drunk on the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know if I said this, but I'm going to say it again, and I'll get out of here. The last couple weeks since we've opened up this church, Pastor Bevo and Pastor Aaron, who's doing the live stream back there, we've seen one young lady give her life to Jesus Christ. We've seen one young man get baptized. And we had some young people, probably in their middle 20s, that were married. And they came from Oklahoma and they got a baby on the way. And they're looking for a church home. Aren't you glad you was open last night so we could be there for them? I mean, if your kids were running around looking for a church, or Brett, your kids were running around looking for a church, wouldn't you want the church to be open? Because they're from Oklahoma. I said, who came up here with you? They said, nobody. We're here on our own. So there should be a local church in every town that your kids can go to so they can hear about the love of Jesus, and it needs to be a safe place. On that note, let's pray. Somebody say, oh, Jesus, with me this morning. Do you think he's listening to this church? He's right here, and some of you guys can feel him. Hold on for a second. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in the house today. Oh, Jesus. You know, one day, the roll will be called up yonder. The roll will be called up yonder, and everybody goes before the Lord. Lord, you learned this from your daddy. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be standing at the pearly gates. It won't be St. Peter. Don't worry about St. Peter. He'll be there, but he's not the gatekeeper. Jesus Christ is. And he'll carry a book, something like this. And he'll ask you one question. Why should I let you into my heaven? And you only got one answer. As funny as your husband was and is, he can't get in on his funniness. Well, I've been married to Gloria for 30-something years. Can't I get it? God said, no. You need to know, Mr. Cook, you need to know the answer. You say, what is the answer, Pastor Pat? I've accepted you as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. That can be your only answer, you say? And if you go up there, Anna, and you said, I never had time for that. What will he say then? The saddest words in the Bible. Away from me, you evildoer, I never knew you. Well, I'll tell you what, I got to make sure this gets out to the people down at the lake today because they're going to get back to boating. Well, let's be honest. The tragedy lurks. So when they get away from their dock, and they pull away in their boat, and they get back to business as usual. And you get back on your bike, Terry. You'll be driving down the highway with your wind blowing in your hair, and you say, I have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, and those who are free indeed. Can I get a witness? You got to know that.
Whoa, Lord. That's a good message right there. You can hang your hat on that. We pray this in his name, and his people said, amen.